and they find it absolutely hilarious. They aren't the X. They aren't no names. And they aren't gentlemen. They are Gemma and King. And this is Social Downfall Radio.
Well, hello there, listeners. It's King.
And Gemma.
And you are listening to episode number 15. I actually went back and looked. Unlike last week when we had no idea what episode it was, I went and looked. This is actually episode number 15 of Social Downfall Radio. Thank you once again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And go 15.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I have no idea. Anyway, before I allow you to say anything else that's just weird and I don't know, I'll just let everybody know how they can get in contact with us. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook over at facebook.com. Facebook.com/... Social Downfall Radio, rather easy. Twitter, we are at Social Downfall. Of course, you leave the O out of downfall. Of course. I mean, that's just common knowledge. Why wouldn't you do that? But that's where we are at Social Downfall, minus the O and downfall there on Twitter. Of course, you can like and share, subscribe to us on iTunes. We are on iTunes as well, but you can listen to us. And whenever the powers that be over at Brainstorm Radio decide to put us on SoundCloud, we're also on SoundCloud as well. So we're all over the place. You can go listen to us, find us, interact with us, have fun with us. You know, we're good like that.
Yeah, we're good like that.
We actually answer when people like talk to us or say something or bring up something. The only thing is like that's happened, I think, twice since we started the show. So we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We're building. We're building up. You know, it's we are started off with the ground floor. You know, and nothing gets big overnight, unfortunately. As much as I wish it did,
that would be cool.
That would be very nice. You know, I can make ad revenue money and do things like that. Believe it or not, I actually we started a YouTube channel as well. Not just for Social Downfall, but for Stay Tuned Sports as well. All the Skunk Duck Studio entities that we have here created a YouTube channel for that. The one thing I don't like is that YouTube won't let you get a specific URL for your channel unless you have 100 subscribers. So, in order to try to get people to the YouTube channel, I have to try to tell them, you know, go here, like, share, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. But the URL is at youtube.com/HPQ2574XBHGBTF4. It's like, come on. You know, you want me to get 100 subscribers, but you're not helping me out at all here, YouTube. You know what I mean? And that's... You know, from what I've heard from people, there's, you know, YouTube has changed a lot in how they do and how they operate and how they do certain things. Where even like the quote unquote famous YouTubers out there, like a PewDiePie, a Markiplier, a MatPat, things like that, even they're kind of, they've even put out videos kind of like, YouTube, you know, cut the crap with what you're doing because it's getting a little nuts. So.
Is there any way to, like, bit.ly or hyperlink it?
I mean, I'm sure I could do, like, a URL shortener, but that looks cheap, too. And that's the thing. I don't want to have something look cheap. If I'm going to do something, I kind of want to go all out with it. And, you know, like, even now, like, I'm a little annoyed with these USB microphones that I have because, you know, it has the bit of an echo in it and things like that. And it's like, it's not perfect. It's not exactly the way I want it. This is aggravating me. I really am. I'm stupid perfectionist. Like, I will throw something out. Like, somebody will see something and think it's fantastic, and I will throw it against the wall and break it and say, no, it's terrible because it doesn't fit my exacting purpose. Like, I'm insane when it comes to perfection. I don't know why. Like, because Lord knows I'm not the most perfect person in the world.
I actually feel you there because I deleted a spreadsheet yesterday because one number was wrong. An entire spreadsheet. Deleted.
Because just there was one little error and you couldn't go back and just change that?
It just annoyed me too much to try. It was one of my own doings. It wasn't something like I needed to do.
So it wasn't so much related to your job as
well, it was to make things a little easier, but it ended up frustrating me more than making things easier.
Okay. And so then on top of all that frustration when you saw the mistake, you were just like, ah, screw it, screw it, that's gone, delete.
Yep.
Delete, delete, delete. If I may bring up a broken Matt Hardy thing. A lot of news coming out from the wrestling world recently. Today is kind of, this whole week has kind of been a weird wrestling kind of thing. We're going to get into that later in the show. But, I mean, there has been a ton of wrestling news. And of course, if anybody who knows or has listened to me and Gemma in the past, or maybe you are as well, we're huge wrestling nerds. Like, we are huge marks, and we really enjoy the wrestling, the sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. I always liked wrestling. I never jumped on the whole sports entertainment bandwagon that Vince tried to push, you know.
It's wrestling.
It's wrestling.
It's been wrestling since I was a kid. It's not changing.
I mean, well, he went to the point where he changed, like, it went from World Wrestling Federation, and then the World Wildlife Fund, they've been suing him forever, and then finally they won in court, so they had to change the name, so they changed it to World Wrestling Entertainment, and, you know, but it still had wrestling in the name, and then, I forget when it was, whether it was around 2009, somewhere around there, they changed the name of the company from World Wrestling Entertainment to just WWE. And that was it. Like, there was no... They took World Wrestling and Federation/Entertainment completely out of it, and it just became WWE. That's why it's no longer the World Wrestling Entertainment Championship, or... You used to hear them... They used to cut promos like that. Now it's just... Everything's just WWE, WWE. Nothing is World Wrestling Entertainment, World Wrestling Federation, nothing.
I'm still learning a lot from the 10 years that I stopped watching wrestling.
I think everybody goes... Anybody who likes wrestling or ever liked wrestling or who likes wrestling now, I think has gone through a point in their life where they stopped watching because either it became, you know, oh, that's kid stuff, or, you know, I grown up, I don't need that, that's kind of lame. You know, when I was growing up, I stopped watching around that new generation era into the beginning of the Attitude Era because I had just outgrown it. Like, when I was a kid, I was in the age of Hulkamania. Like, that's when Hulkamania was at its peak. It was running wild, brother. You know, it was all over the place. And then as, you know, I started to grow up a little bit, and it was just like, it's getting a little too, you know, it's kid stuff. You know, I'm 11, 12, 13 years old at this point, and I'm like, okay, you know, give me my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Give me my Batman animated series. But that wrestling stuff's just too kiddie, too kitsch. So I stopped watching for a pretty significant, I would say about 7-8 years, something like that. And it happened. The only thing that got me back into it was on a Saturday night at 2:00 in the morning, I was fiddling around with my TV's reception, and this was still back when you got over the air stuff. I was fiddling around with TV reception, and somehow through one of the cables I had, I can't tell you how I found it, but I got a signal from Philadelphia, and it was ECW. And I watched it one night and became immediately enthralled, and it pulled me right back into the wrestling world to where I then caught back up to where WWE was, and they were in the midst of the Attitude Era, and then I started watching WCW. That's when Nitro was kind of at its peak and doing well as well with the NWO and everything, and it just kind of all brought me back into it, so... I don't know why I told you that story, but I think it was going back because you said that you had a lot of, you missed a lot.
I really did. And it was my teenage years also. I was about 15. I had watched it my whole life, but then things happened. I got too busy and I stopped watching. Every so often I'd grab an episode of Raw, but it just wasn't the same.
But here's the thing. I don't think you missed a lot. Kind of like, you know, when I look at the years that I missed, I really didn't miss a lot. Like, I missed Shawn Michaels, you know, doing his thing. I kind of missed the Montreal Screwjob. I kind of missed some big stories like that. But overall, I don't think I missed a lot. I don't think you missed a lot either. Because you stopped watching... Basically, for the LOL Cena wins era, you missed Super Cena era, you missed, you know, John Cena conquers overall, wins everything, everybody sucks kind of thing. It was so bad.
The only thing I regret missing is CM Punk.
And that was towards the later part. That was towards the end of, I guess, what you would call the PG era and the start of this kind of reality slash new era, although that's kind of even recent. But, yeah, no, CM Punk was that breath of fresh air.
I believe he walked out the day I started watching again.
What, at that Money in the Bank when he won a championship?
No.
Oh, you're talking about when he walked out of the company, period. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was, yeah, because he was just, and understandably so, he was kind of frustrated. Like, here's the thing. A lot of people give Punk a lot of crap for what he said and you know, kind of how he's acted. And listen, he does kind of have an attitude problem. He is kind of a jerk. But, you know, he also has valid points. That doesn't invalidate him being a jerk, but him being a jerk doesn't invalidate his points either. But CM Punk was such a breath of fresh air during that era, during that PG era, especially with John Cena and everything like that. It was, I think that's why so many people have an attraction to the CM Punk character and who he was and what he did when he was there, because it was just, it was different. It wasn't something that was so predictable as it always was. Like, you think Monday Night Raws are bad now or are not entertaining now. Back then, they were even worse. Like, it was just so bad. It really was. So I think that's probably why a lot of people, that he was a good wrestler, he was a good character as well, but I mean, it was just something, he was that first shot in the arm, that first quote-unquote indie guy to make it, and now we've had, you know, we've had Daniel Bryan, we have AJ Styles as your champion now, we have Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, whatever you want to call him, you know, Finn. We have these guys coming in, we have Finn, who's coming in, you have the women's division coming up now, which is also something that's big that we never thought we would kind of ever see legitimately again, was a strong women's division, which we have now two strong women's divisions. You know, it's this as wrestling goes, you can sit there and you complain about some things. Right now, wrestling isn't bad.
No, it's not.
It's not nearly as bad as I think a lot of people try to portray it. But again, we just had about a 15-minute conversation about wrestling when I said we're going to talk about wrestling later on in the show. But I did want to touch on something else because it kind of harkens back to my childhood, deep in my heart. When I was a kid, and I don't know if anybody around my age probably knows this as well or if they had one too, I had a Teddy Ruxpin. In case you don't know what Teddy Ruxpin is, Teddy Ruxpin was this teddy bear doll, cute little fella. And he came with these little storybooks. And the cool thing about Teddy Ruxpin was is that if you put a tape in his back, he would read you the story. You put in a corresponding tape to the corresponding book, and your teddy bear would read you a book about himself and his friends off gallivanting around whatever the hell Teddy Ruxpin and his weird friends were doing. And that was one of the coolest things ever. Well, apparently, Teddy Ruxpin is coming back for this next generation. I'm excited for that.
I want one.
The toy bear made a splash when he launched in 1985. He was a first of its kind animatronic toy with motorized eyes and mouth. And he told stories through a cassette player. Remember those? In his back. And yes, I did absolutely adore Teddy Ruxpin. The funny story with mine, though, is that my brother Russell, and I've told this story a couple times on other podcasts, but my brother Russell, when I was a kid, he put a Metallica Ride the Lightning cassette into my Teddy Ruxpin. So I had Teddy Ruxpin sing, like, For Whom the Bell Tolls and, you know, Metallica. You know, I had my bear sing me songs of Metallica, which maybe explains a lot about me. Probably why I love metal so much, why I love Metallica, and why I'm so just weird. That probably explains a lot. Maybe it also explains why I like Five Nights at Freddy. I like an animatronic bear, you know, singing about death and lightning and, you know, metal stuff. Metal. Anyway, Teddy Ruxpin will still read stories with a motorized mouth, but now he's got a color LCD eye. Whoa. All right. No, wait a minute. This is getting just odd. Teddy Ruxpin will still read stories with a motorized mouth, but now he has color LCD eyes that show 40 animated expressions synced with the stories. He can blink and look up and down, but his eyes also flash hearts, stars, and even snowflakes. Okay. Now, I thought... If you thought my Teddy Ruxpin back in the day was creepy, he also has touch sensors in his hands and feet. This is meant to allow an easy interface with young kids. By pressing the touchpad on the hand or foot, they can start, pause, or switch a story. Okay, so I'm guessing this is how people felt when I had my Teddy Ruxpin back in the day. I really do. I'm looking at it, and the eyes that he has, it's like those big anime eyes, like you see on anime characters, and I'm just looking, and it just, he looks soulless. That looks utterly terrifying.
Are you creeped out?
I am severely creeped out. No.
Like Freddy Fazbear creeped out?
Like, kind of, yeah. No, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe I'll actually buy that for my nephew or something. Like, you know, kind of be, like, a pass down a generation. Like, I had a Teddy Ruxpin. I'll give him a Teddy Ruxpin. I'll be, you know, this whole big thing. No, I couldn't do that to that poor child. I could not do that to that poor child. Look at that thing. That thing is evil. Hi, I'm Teddy Ruxpin, and I will take your soul. Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you for 20 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Connect to Social Downfall on social media, like on Facebook at facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and follow us on Twitter at Social Downfall, minus the O in downfall.
So it's like S-C-I-A-L? Oh, in downfall. So social, S-O-C-I-A-L-D-W-N. Yeah, that'll work. That sucks, though. It's hard. It's hard to work with.
Yo, Sway, man, I can't even describe it, man. The situation was crazy, bro. If I was a gorilla, I would say it was bananas, B. Well, the man just, he just took over the whole situation, God. Listen, man, it is what it is.
Social Downfall Radio, hanging out with you here, King and Gemma. Wonder why we're coming in with a little Method Man here on Social Downfall Radio, throwing a little Wu-Tang at you. This is from Luke Cage, Netflix's new original series show from Marvel. Name of the song is Bulletproof Love, because, you know, of course it is. But anyway, able to binge Luke Cage this weekend as soon as it came out, and what are you looking at?
I saw something. I'm
trying to talk to you here, and all I do see, I see you just looking straight up to the ceiling. I'm like, if there's a spider up there, I'm out of the room. The show's over. We're done. I'm out. I'm not doing anything anymore.
It wasn't a spider. It was a figment of my imagination, apparently.
Oh, so you see bugs on the ceiling? That's like signs of like you got a mental problem.
I never said it was a bug.
So then what was it? The hole in one of the drop tiles?
Yes.
Like, so, you've never seen that before?
No.
Anyway, Luke Cage debuted on, I think it was midnight, Thursday into Friday of last week. We didn't. I binged it. We binged it. Well, we binged it Friday, and then I think we binged it until about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
4 a.m.
And we tapped out. We called it quits, and we said, "Well, we'll pick this up tomorrow." And we finished the series then on Saturday. And man, what a good show!
It was amazing.
What a really good show. Up there with Daredevil. It really is. It's and for a couple episodes, it was even better than Daredevil.
I liked it better than Daredevil.
Really?
Yes.
I'm putting it on par with Daredevil. I think it was better than Jessica Jones. And here's the thing. I love Jessica Jones.
I loved Daredevil.
But I think Luke Cage was better than Jessica Jones and on par with Daredevil. I think it was just an excellent show. Excellently done. Everything from just the music and the soundtrack of it was absolutely fantastic. How they portrayed each of the characters. You ended up having a feeling and a story for everybody. And the one thing that I think we both kind of noticed too is there's one overarching character in all of these Marvel Netflix shows. And that's Turk. Good old Turk.
I love Turk.
And that's the thing. Turk, as much as, you know, he is kind of just a criminal scumbag, you love Turk.
There was one point where I was like, kill him already. He's really just, he messed everything up. And then within a minute, I was like, don't kill him, don't kill him.
I was going to say, yeah, a couple episodes later, it's just like, you know what? Yeah, no, you got to keep Turk. Got to have Turk there. But overall, I loved it. I thought they did great work with the villains. I thought they did great work because you didn't know who was who was on whose side, who's what with where. You kind of have a crush on one of the villains now. I see you kind of starting to blush over there as I mentioned the villains. Gemma kind of, she's got a thing for Shades.
There's something about him. I can't even describe it.
And I don't want to talk about too much. I don't want to do any spoilery kind of, you know, this isn't going to be a spoilery kind of thing. If I could even talk, I don't know. We're recording kind of late tonight, but and I've been sick. I'm not gonna lie. I've had some NyQuil in me, so if I seem a little, even more off than usual, blame it on a NyQuil. Honestly, a great show, a great art, and just when you think you know what's gonna happen, something else comes out of the left field. Like I'm not gonna mention specifics. There's a point later on in one of the later episodes. I forget if it was like episode 11 or 12. And you're thinking, oh, this is it. This guy. They pulled him out of jail. They're gonna, this is how they're gonna get rid of him. And you're thinking, oh, there it goes. It's going the exact way I think it's gonna go. And then boom, it changes. Right, it just swerves you right in front of you, and it's like, okay, I didn't think they were going to be brave enough to do that. Nice swerve. And then they did so many great things with this show. I was absolutely, absolutely blown away. If you haven't seen Luke Cage yet, please go see it. Although, judging by what happened to Netflix on Saturday, maybe you have seen it, or maybe you went to go see it and you couldn't, because apparently Netflix crashed for about 2 hours on Saturday. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I wanted to make sure I got the timeline right of that. 2 hours. Now, Netflix hasn't said why. You know, it's just, I guess they're portraying it as a general server crash or whatever the case may be.
Well, that's because they actually don't get the ratings of what show is watched more. But it is assumed to be Luke Cage because of the following that it has.
I would think that if Netflix has something like this, like if they have, you know, they've had the streaming service for a couple of years now. There's got to be a way that they can tell who's watching what. Maybe not who's watching what, but just how many people are watching a particular, like what's getting streamed more than something else.
I think what it is they can't tell right then and there. They may need to wait a day or two.
I honestly don't see how that's possible. And I'm not saying like, you know, oh, it's a, you know, Netflix is trying to hide. So I'm not saying that. Although maybe they are. Maybe they don't want to have people, you know, they could think that that's a, you know, that's bad press or bad PR. Like, if it's like, yeah, no, we know what everybody's watching. Everybody's like, whoa, you know what I'm, you're spying on me? You know what I'm watching? I think they're trying to spin it that way.
It could be.
Because honestly, I think Netflix knows what movies are getting streamed and the amount they're getting streamed when they're doing it, because that's how they set up what either is or isn't on for their streaming, how much bandwidth they give to a particular title or not, you know, things like that. You know, they need to know that information. So they might have been waiting to see, you know, they might have allocated for Luke Cage what they had, you know, had for Daredevil, Jessica Jones, things like that. And maybe Luke Cage blew that out of the water.
And that's what it's sounding like. It, the best part that to come out of the outage, though.
Out of the outage?
Out of the outage were Luke Cage's verified Twitters. Like Twitter.
Why is that?
They were updating everybody.
Okay.
About the outage and how Netflix was working on it. But they were also promoting the record, the website, the swear jar.
Well, that's a good... I mean, honestly, that's just,
they,
you know...
They use it for some good PR while they waited.
Well, absolutely. And that's smart work, and that's quick thinking by the people who were running their social media team to... You know, oh, okay, oh, you can't watch Luke Cage, or you watched a couple episodes of Luke Cage, and now that, you know, the system's down, you can't watch anything. But hey, you like the music, you can always go check out the original soundtrack, and you do that. You can, you know, go look at, you know, some of this. Hey, why don't you go read some of the past comic books or something and catch up on who Mama Mabel is, who is in this show as well, which is absolutely amazing, by the way. They do a great backstory on everybody, on everything in this show. From what I understand, they were told that there were only two things they couldn't touch. They couldn't touch Luke Cage's powers, and they couldn't touch his origin story. Both of those had to remain the same. Outside of that, the creators were free to do whatever they wished to do to the Luke Cage world. And yes, they made changes. Yes, they did things like that. But man, did everything perfectly, just spot on perfect with this show. And it fits in with the rest of the Netflix Marvel universe. You know, there's enough references to the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe to kind of tease, you know, wet your whistle and do things like that. Like there's a lot of good stuff in this show. Not a lot of hints for Iron Fist, except for the very, very end.
I was going to say, I only saw one.
There was one at the very end of the show. Again, not mentioning it, not saying what it was, just saying that, you know, and it's, if you blink, you'll miss it. But it's there. But now we also know the release date for Iron Fist, and we don't have to wait that long. As much, you know, it's not like we're waiting for Game of Thrones again.
I can't wait for Iron Fist.
That was my gift to you to say the date. What day is it coming out?
My phone is loading.
March 17th. It's coming out March 17th. My goodness. Way to go. Way to be prepared.
Blame the HTC.
What? How? Why am I blaming the HTC? I'm blaming you. You should know this in your mind by now. As a nerd, this should be ingrained in your brain, in your heart and soul. You should know this.
I know I should.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
These two were voted most likely to succeed in high school, which proves high school students have always been pretty f***ing stupid. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Dirty mind, dirty mind, dirty mind, dirty mind, dirty mind, dirty mind.
I try to leave the house, but she won't let me out. Deadbolt's lock got me strapped to the couch. She's got a dirtier mind than my mouth. But hate to say, the more you f*** the better for your health. She wants
me at the party. Social Downfall Radio. Hanging out with you here, King and Gemma. And she is just grooving to this song.
It's fun.
Are you right over there?
I'm okay.
All right, well, we're going to have fun with this segment, I have a feeling. I'm completely ripping this segment off from someplace and somewhere. If anybody's ever watched on YouTube the Game Theorist channel with Game Theory and all that kind of stuff, they have a live stream. And one of the live streams they had recently, Matt Pat and his wife were playing this game called Dirty Minds. And so I said, hey, you know what? That'd be a perfect thing to completely and utterly rip off and just do for myself. So that's what we're going to do here on Social Downfall Radio. We're going to completely rip off somebody else's idea and do it as our own. Why not?
Woohoo!
Woo! So, here's the deal. This game is called Dirty Minds. And it's basically, you get three clues that tell you, you know, the kind of... I see you. You're still looking around. Is there a bug flying around still?
I can't sit still.
I gotta get you some, like, Ritalin or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, focus. Focus.
Focus.
Focus. So the game is you get three basically riddles to guess what the riddles are talking about. But the riddles are worded and phrased in such a way that they are inherently dirty. So if you have a dirty mind, it's going to take you a while to try to figure out what the hell they're talking about, because what they're talking about is rather usually innocent and innocuous. So, you want to get cracking on this?
Let's go.
All right. Let's see. The first one, and I'm going to pose this one to you. I'll do them as well, you know, just so that, you know, it's fair. But this first one for you is, I can be hard or soft and still get it off. Finger my plunger and I'll come in your hand. I always come in hotel bathrooms.
Soap.
So let's see. I can be hard or soft and still get it off. Finger my plunger and I'll come in your hand, and I always come in hotel bathrooms. Your guess is soap?
Yes.
That's pretty good. Good job. You get the correct bell for that one.
Yay!
So I guess your mind isn't as dirty as I thought.
Oh no, I was sitting here cracking up the whole time.
Okay. I just looked at mine. I just perused it, which is why I had a moment of silence. Sorry about that. Okay, for my riddle now is, the more I suck, the faster you get off. My thrust gets you up. I have to get hot before you can blow. God, I have such a dirty mind. I have no idea what this is. Hold on. Let me see. Give me a minute. Give me a minute here. Let me see if I can figure this out. You're just going to leave dead air for people? I need your help here.
I'm actually baffled as what okay, it could be either.
The more I suck, the faster you get off. My thrust gets you up. I have to get hot before you can blow. It seems like it's like for a plane or something, like a jet engine. Like, you know, the more I suck, the faster you get off. Like you're, you know, and my thrust, you know, the thrust of an engine gets you up. It gets you up into the sky.
I don't know. My mind is just completely
dirty. I'm going to guess jet engine, because that third clue, it doesn't seem to make sense to me. But jet engine! Woo! Yeah, baby! I got that one. I got that. How come I don't get a correct bell? There we go. Thank you. I finally get a correct bell. Woo. But there we go. Okay. So I got one. You got one. What else we got? You read a couple now.
When I go in, I might cause pain. I cause you to spit and ask you not to swallow. I can fill your hole.
What now? Can you repeat those for a second?
When I go in, I might cause pain.
Okay.
I cause you to spit and ask you not to swallow.
Okay.
I got it.
Mouthwash. Listerine. Tell me I'm right.
You're wrong.
What? What is it?
A dentist.
Boo. Boo. I win. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Mouthwash doesn't fill your hole.
Yeah, it does with mouthwash. My mouth hole is filled with the mouthwash. So I get that. That's a correct
No. Okay, fine. Next one. I'm spread before I'm eaten.
God, I love these. Come on, continue. Now remember, these are not specifically dirty. These are not dirty. These are meant as just regular everyday items. It's just your dirty mind that screws with it.
Your tongue gets me off. People sometimes like to lick my nuts.
So wait, I'm spread before you eat me. Your tongue gets me off. And what, people like to lick my nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Spread before peanut butter?
Yeah.
I was wondering. That's implying that people only eat chunky peanut butter.
Well, no, they're saying that people like to eat peanut or lick peanuts.
Yeah, but peanut butter doesn't have... There's not a whole peanut in there to lick. You can just lick the peanut butter, which is why the tongue gets it off. I get that clue. That clue makes sense. But unless you're having chunky peanut butter, licking the nuts of the peanut butter makes no sense. But I still got it right, so... What else we got?
All day long, it's in and out.
Oh, yeah.
I discharge loads from my shaft.
Jesus Christ.
Both men... and women go down on me.
I was honestly trying to think of a terrible joke, and I thought of a few, but they're still too bad to even say. Say that again.
I'll try.
Okay, yeah, without dying.
I have way too dirty of a mind to be reading.
I was going
to
say, yeah, no, this game is perfect for us because we're just simply that dirty.
All day long, it's in and out.
All day long, it's in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I discharge loads from my shaft.
I discharge loads from my shaft. Okay.
Both men and women go down on me.
Now I gotta think of something with a shaft that discharges loads. Now, like, at first I thought it might have been, like, a truck or something. Cause, you know, I discharge loads or whatever it is. Or a gun, but nobody goes down on a gun. I mean, unless you're Kurt Cobain, you don't go down on the gun.
Too soon.
It's been 20-plus years. Calm down. It's probably an easy one that I'm just not getting because I have such an absolutely filthy mind. What is it? What is it?
An elevator.
Oh, that's lame. That's lame. Boo. Why, hello, listener. It's King from Social Downfall Radio. And if you're anything like me, you're fat and love ramen noodles. No, wait, what? No, if you're anything like me, you love the world of mixed martial arts. And no show brings better coverage of the Octagon than The Cage Crew on the Brainstew Radio Network. Matt and Jeff provide no-nonsense MMA talk and tell it like it is. Good, bad,
or ugly.
The Cage Crew, Fridays at 4 p.m., available at brainstewradio.com, iTunes, and now on SoundCloud.
More addictive than Game of War. And we didn't even need Kate Upton's boobs. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Social Downfall Radio. King and Gemma hanging out with you here. And I'm not sure if anybody knows, but it's October.
Is it really?
Thus, it's kind of Halloween-y time and all the fun spooky stuff that happens. And by the way, this is another Undertale song, by the way.
I recognized it.
Just thought I'd put that one out there. But yes, we're getting all ready for spooky time and spooky time and spooky stories and urban legends and all that other fun stuff. And so me and Gemma were sitting here thinking, well, actually, Gemma was thinking about it. I was probably drunk and passed out or something. But it's like, hey, Why don't we talk about some urban legends? Maybe some of the bigger ones that are around. Some of the ones that actually aren't just urban legends, but are actually based on fact, that are actually true urban legends. And sure enough, whenever you need to find a list like that, you go to Cracked. Cracked.com will always have a list there for you of some kind or another.
They have been doing these lists for, I think, 5 years.
Cracked has been around, as the magazine, because you had two magazines, like the comedy magazines. You had Mad and you had Cracked. Cracked was kind of like the fake Mad magazine. And then Cracked, they stopped printing, and then they kind of went to this whole, doing online list things that they do. And it's worked out well for them.
I've learned something new again.
So, you didn't know that Cracked was an actual magazine?
Nope.
Wow. Man, I feel old. Anyway, so we do have a couple of urban legends that they have listed here, and they're urban legends, but they are also true. They are absolutely true urban legends. And the first one we're going to talk about here, here's the thing. All these ones are going to make your skin crawl. All these are going to be like, oh, man, this can't really be real. But you're going to start thinking about it and be like, man, I'm going to check twice the next time, like, something, I'm in this kind of situation or something like this. And this one is one of the big ones. A killer lives hidden inside of a family's house for weeks before murdering them. Now, the legend of this goes that a family starts to notice something going a little screwy around the house that they're living in. Things are going missing. Other things that shouldn't be there now are. Eerie footsteps. People are starting hearing people walking around. Next thing you know, the whole clan is found murdered under circumstances only they and their killer would ever know. Okay. Then you have the truth. And this is the truth. This true tale of terror actually takes place near a century ago on a small island. A small isolated German farm. It helps if I can read. Named Hinterkaifeck, which is actually a pretty awesome name in and of itself. I mean, if you're going to base a horror story somewhere, you might as well. Although this isn't a horror story. This actually happened. Sometime around mid-March of 1922, the farm's owner, Hans Gruber's great-grandfather, apparently, began to notice a lot of ominous things happening on his property. He found weird footprints, keys went missing, unknown items mysteriously showed up, and the family began hearing footsteps in the attic. It seems that people were less sensitive to obviously terrifying things back in the good old days. But again, they were also German. So, it's kind of hard to scare a German, I think. But anyway, because the Gruber shrugged off the weirdness and went back to waxing their... Really? Is that what they're going to put? Like, I like Cracked, but sometimes the way they write their articles absolutely is terrible. Anyway, the Gruber shrugged it off. And this guy puts in more racist stuff about souring their kraut or doing what else Germans do. They should have checked the attic, though. And he's right on that point. On the evening of March 31st, 1922, Andreas, his wife, his daughter, and two grandchildren, and their maid were all brutally killed by someone wielding a mattock, which is a tool that's a half pickaxe, half axe, and all just murdered death-killy. At least whoever did this wasn't a complete terrible guess, though, since the animals were all well-fed when the family's bodies were discovered 4 days later. To this day, the identity of the killer remains a hotly contested mystery, but given that the victims were named Gruber and the murderer had a penchant for skulking around above the ceiling, it's hard not to imagine a suspect as some sort of psychotic German John McClane. I knew they were going for that joke. I know. That's the only thing that I hate about Cracked is that they try to get a little too funny and cutesy with their articles, but it's still pretty funny. What do we have now? You have the next story, right?
Yes. So never let your psychotic ex cook dinner for you.
That's always a good lesson anyway. So what's the legend on this one?
Ever since Glenn Close made a generation of guys squirm with her rabbit killing ways.
Oh God, that movie.
Stories of jilted lovers cooking up their ex's beloved furry friends have captured the public's imagination. There's no better way to establish a character as candidate for worst person ever than having them kill an adorable pet.
I think that's true too. Yeah, look at John Wick. That whole movie is based on the fact that they killed his dog, and then he just goes on an absolutely awesome Killing Rampage, which is, you know, a pretty good movie. So here's the thing, you know, yeah, if you set up the story with somebody, you know, killing a beloved family pet, you're going to set them up to be pretty bad, right?
You're getting the blanks there because I've never seen John Wick.
Oh, well, again, that's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that you haven't seen the movie. Anyway, continue. What's the truth of the story? Now, we have the legend, you know, the whole Glenn Close thing, everything like that. What's the truth to this?
Well, one guy took the movie as an instruction manual.
Oh, apparently. That's not good. That's all right. I don't know if I want to read through the rest of this. Continue.
Ryan Eddie Wattenpaw of Palo Cedro, California. Sounds like a real charmer. After his girlfriend broke it off due to his abusive ways, Ryan decided to reinforce her decision by attacking her in her home.
Seems like a logical step. Yeah, sure. Go nuts.
The woman managed to flee, but when she returned to her apartment, both Wattenpaw and her Pomeranian bear were gone. A month later, Ryan and the woman reconciled, and he offered to whip her up a home-cooked meal. You know, out of the goodness of his heart.
But here's the thing. Now here's something I'm going to bring up right now. If somebody beats the ever-loving crap out of you in your home, how are you making up with them? I don't care if it's a month later, 2 weeks later, a year later. That's not somebody you make up with. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that, you know, she had this coming because she got him. But still, I mean, use some common sense, lady. Anyway, okay. So he decided to go ahead and make a meal to kind of as a makeup to, you know, being an absolute abusive ass.
They actually have a screenshot of some of the texts that he sent her.
Okay. And I do see that after the romantic rendezvous, he did go ahead and send her some texts. Now, go ahead and read the text for me.
Oh, and P.S., how's your dog taste? I thought it was better than the barbecue, or with the barbecue and those Hawaiian buns. I guess you could bury what you didn't eat. That smile on your face when you read this is priceless.
That's almost like a Cartman when he fed Scott Teneman his parents kind of thing. Like, that's right there with that. Not long after, a small bag did appear on her doorstep, and when the woman opened it, she found Bear's tiny severed paws inside. Yes, Wattenpaw had returned what was left of his girlfriend's dog in a doggy bag. Still, that is a true story, and it is very sad. Then again, you know, those Chinese people have those dog-eating festivals over in China, so I guess, you know.
I'm not talking to you.
Like, I'm wondering, if she was Chinese, like, would it be, like, or Korean, like, was it not, that's not that bad of a thing, is it? Or is that racist, what I just said?
A little.
I'm not sure. Anyway, and the last one we're going to talk about here is kind of the basis of every horror movie ever, the texts from under the bed. Now, the legend is that, of course, the ultimate pee your pajama slumber party horror movie story thing is you have a teenage girl, she starts getting text messages or phone calls, don't know where it's from, she starts freaking out, and then she picks up the phone and somebody says, "The calls are coming from inside the house." Ah! Everybody screams, everybody has fun, everybody goes to sleep, whatever. Well, the truth to this one is that in July of 2014, a 16-year-old girl from Chester, England, unexpectedly found herself in the middle of basically every single horror movie ever. The girl started receiving messages from a local 18-year-old sweet talker named Kyle Ravenscroft, which sounds like a Harry Potter wizard name.
Ravenclaw.
You're proud of Ravenclaw when I mentioned Ravenscroft. That's not what you should be taking from this story. Anyway, Ravenscroft texted that he was watching her and that he wanted her to awaken to the sight of him hanging outside her window. Now, I'm not sure if that meant like, "Hey, I'm hanging outside your window," or if he was going to put himself in a noose and hang himself outside her window. Again, with crazy, you never can really tell. And those were just his suave opening lines. At midnight, this gentleman, Mr. Ravenscroft, he ended up sending another terrifying text as this young lady was getting ready for bed, with it saying, "I'm in your house." I'm not sure if you can put whisper on a text, but that's how I read it anyway. Anyway, true to genre traditions, the victim wrote the text off as a joke. Ha ha ha, as you would, because, you know, stalkers don't exist in 2016. or 2014, whenever this happened. Anyway, and didn't bother to call the police because this girl is stupid. The girl would sleep most of the night in her mom's bed, but later when she returned to her room, she noticed a row of shoeboxes she kept beside her bed had been disturbed, at which point, you call the effing police! but no, she didn't do that. At this part, where, you know, if you're in a movie theater watching this, you go to her and you're like, no, honey, don't you be looking under that bed. You run, girl. No, she didn't do that. Of course, she went and looked under the bed and found Mr. Ravenscroft there just chilling. You know, what's up, baby? I'm under your bed. Thankfully, the girl escaped unharmed, but you know she's going to be checking under her mattress with a flashlight every single night until she's 80, as I think anybody really would.
That one seemed more like it was life imitating art because it's been done so many times.
I'm wondering if just like maybe he watched Scream too much.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or 2-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Just like the 1980s Nintendo cartridge, all we need is one good blow to work properly.
I don't understand.
Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
So let the storm.
Downfall Radio. King and Gemma hanging out with you here. Last segment, go home segment, as it were. Let everybody know that they could probably just fast forward this and get on with their day. No, you don't want to do that. You love us. You love hearing us talk about stuff, especially wrestling. And what a big week in wrestling news this has been. There's been a ton of stuff that's been going on. Like, it's absolutely insane. I don't even know where to begin. Where to start with all this stuff. Maybe we'll start with the beginning of the beginning, as it were. Jamie Noble, who you may know from WWE, his time there, and he was part of J&J Security. Before that, he did a couple other different things.
I love J&J Security.
J&J Security was one of the great things about that whole authority angle. But he got stabbed. He got stabbed after a WWE event in West Virginia. He got stabbed in front of his trailer in Trailer Park. I mean, not to make light of the situation, but was there any... Where else was Jamie Noble going to get stabbed? I mean, come on. He's okay. So as good as somebody who can be stabbed is, I mean, he's not going to die, so that's a good thing. He's okay. They're still looking for the attackers, for the assailants. Jamie Noble's actually, I know he's been on Twitter and Facebook asking for anybody to help with any information they have. So if you do, please go, if you have any information, if you're listening to this podcast and somehow have information on Jamie Noble's attacker, go to his Twitter and, inform him, inform the local authorities, do something like that. Then we got news later on that Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, as he has to go by now, that he's outside of the WWE, he missed a wrestling event for AAA in Mexico. Not the first time it's happened where he's missed an event. He's been known to be very temperamental when it comes to working with places. Then it came out, Monday night into Tuesday morning, it came out that Alberto Del Rio was stabbed. Or was at least attacked. He was slashed at with somebody with a knife while he was in San Antonio. He posted pictures, did everything like that. He said he apologized to people from AAA that he couldn't make that, but that he was going to make all the rest of his dates. Don't worry about it. That wasn't a problem. He wasn't too badly hurt. You know, just a couple of scratches and things like that, whatever. Now, I know a couple of wrestling journalists and magazines, papers, whatever, what have you, have actually called in and tried to investigate a little bit into the story. The last I heard is that they contacted the San Antonio Police Department, asking them about information about the incident, to which the San Antonio Police Department said that they had no incidents of any stabbings that weekend. Which, one, is kind of weird that nobody was stabbed in San Antonio over a weekend, because, I mean, if you know San Antonio, it has a bit of a reputation. But if it is true, this just adds a layer to his story of what's going on. You know, did he just miss AAA and, you know, wanted to come up with an excuse? Did he actually get attacked and just didn't report it? Like, but if he went to the hospital to get fit, like, it has to be, like, there's a lot of things that are there. So, I mean, we have two wrestling stars that have been stabbed in a span of 3 days that we happened. Then, during the weekend, there was a huge not controversy, but a lot of drama involving TNA wrestling. Because it was going around for a while that they needed an influx of cash. They needed to get somebody to buy them or somebody to help them, or they were not going to be able to go ahead and put on their Bound for Glory pay-per-view or do any of the television tapings afterwards. Now, rumors were that WWE was in the bidding process to buy TNA Wrestling simply for the fact that they wanted their library. I don't think WWE cares. They weren't going to actually keep TNA alive in any way, shape, or form. They just wanted their wrestling library because it has a ton of AJ Styles matches. You're talking about Mr. TNA. They have a ton of Samoa Joe's matches. They have a ton of Bobby Roode's matches. They have a ton of Austin Aries matches. I mean, a lot of the guys that they have on the main roster and still in NXT had a significant amount of time in TNA. And so that video library then becomes very valuable to WWE. Billy Corgan, lead singer for the Smashing Pumpkins, who is the guy who basically runs TNA, he was looking to buy it outright from Dixie Carter and her family. Now, they weren't able to get anything done for the weekend. They had a $3 million or $2 million influx of cash to make sure the Bound for Glory pay-per-view happened. Nobody knows where that came from. It was an anonymous donation. That's all we know. Did it come from WWE? Did it come from Vince? We don't know. We don't know who it came from.
And we probably never will.
Probably won't. But what we did learn today is that TNA has been sold. TNA's video library has been sold to WWE. WWE now owns the TNA video library. So they have all the video footage of TNA ever. Billy Corgan has now bought out majority share of TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling. He has bought out that, so now Billy Corgan is the owner of TNA Impact Wrestling, to which he is rebranding it. We don't know to what, we don't know what's going to happen with it, but we know that TNA and Impact, very damaged brands as they are gone, and Billy Corgan's going to try to start something new, which is good. Which is exactly what I think, because TNA is just, it's a damaged brand. It's too hurt. Even if they were doing great stuff, nobody would watch because it's, quote-unquote, TNA. So I think a rebrand is probably the best thing that they can do for right now. And Dixie Carter's out of the picture. So I think all of that together is probably the best that wrestling fans could have hoped for when it comes to this whole situation. And then on top of that, we have Daniel Bryan and Brie, right?
Brie.
Okay. I always forget which one it is. But Daniel Bryan and Brie, they just announced that they are having a baby. The fact that they did it on the day that their show premiered on the E! Network, Total Bellas, probably not a coincidence. They've probably known for a little bit, but we're told, hey, why don't you hold back on it and announce it on the day that it premieres? So, good marketing by them. It's a shame that they're using the bun in the oven to kind of do that, but still.
But still, congrats to them.
Congratulations. They've been trying. They say they've been trying, you know. And
that's the reason why Brie retired.
And so, good for him. Good for her. I'm glad that they have all that going on. All the good stuff for them. And I'm not sure if there's too much of anything else big. We have No Mercy coming up this weekend, which, by the way, SmackDown, far superior to Raw in almost every single way.
I loved it.
Their storylines are so good.
And the promo.
The promos are good, especially between AJ, Ambrose, and Cena. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been just absolutely fantastic. I'm excited for Bliss and Becky. I think they're the two best women on SmackDown right now. Bliss is very good. And I know I give her a lot of stuff because she's hot. And it's like, oh my God, she's so hot. But beyond the fact that she's hot, she's becoming one of the best mic workers. She's become one of the best in-ring workers. She tells a great story in the ring. And for being just that little 5 feet of fury, she's absolutely insane. She's doing very well. And also, just on a personal note, one of my favorite wrestling promotions, WCPW, What Culture Pro Wrestling. And if you haven't checked it out, please go to, you know, What Culture Wrestling on YouTube. Check out all their videos. Absolutely, they're putting on their first internet pay-per-view today as we speak right now. I can't see it because I don't have money to see it, but good luck to them. The card looks absolutely amazing. I wish I could buy it. I absolutely want to see it. But it's good to see a cool little wrestling promotion by wrestling nerds for wrestling nerds get this kind of level of attention and success. I'm very happy for them. So I hope everything goes off without a hitch. I hope they have a good time. But as for us, that's pretty much going to kill it for us here. I think we're just about done.
I'd say so.
And that's... it makes me sad because... I felt like I could have done more for the show. Me, personally. I felt like I could have done more. But again, I'm sick again. And like I said before, I've been taking NyQuil. I've been doing stuff. So if everything does kind of feel off, yeah, it's just because of that. But I'm tired of feeling sick. I'm tired of being sick when I'm trying to do these shows, and I'm trying to be fun, and I'm trying to be entertaining. And it's just like I can never really seem to get over that hump of, you know, it's like, ugh, I'm just always dying now.
'Tis the season.
It is true, the weather changing, the temperature changes and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, it bugs me. I want to go for like a three-month period, just a three-month period without being sick and just not dying and not feeling death and sweating and chills and, you know, liquid just pouring out of my bum. You know, I don't want that. That's gross. So on that note, with liquid coming out of my bum, my name is King. She's Gemma. This has been Social Downfall Radio, and we will see you next week. See ya!
Social Downfall Radio is a production of Skunk Duck Studios and is distributed by Brainstew Media.